Hello and welcome to Sex Talks with Sarah. This is Sarah, your host, speaking. And I'm hoping that everyone who listened to part one is here listening to part two, because this is the juicy, juicy information on our experiences, stories on ghosting, on safety, on just a variety of things. So I am so excited to start. Are you ready, Mel?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Hello, listeners.
Okay, so let's just like get into it. I guess I want to start off with ghosting because it is such a common theme throughout when it comes to online dating. And I want to hear some of your input if you want to share a story or two, because I have plenty.
Yeah, I could definitely go in on ghosting. So when I first started getting into dating apps, it was right after my first serious relationship had ended. And I was just looking for a rebound, you know, maybe some distraction, you know, way to get over it. So I went like full blown into dating apps, downloading like all of them, but like mostly Tinder and Bumble I was on going into it. And the first like experience I had was hook up. It was some guy I matched with and we started talking in the same night. It was just on a whim. We decided to hook up, whatever. And I really liked him. Like, it was a good experience. I had a fun time. And again, it was like the first experience I had. So I just thought I was really lucky. I was like, wow, we really hit it off. That was awesome. So we had made plans to like hang out again that same week. And like the next day he started telling me that he was feeling sick and he wasn't sure if he could hang out. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Just let me know, like hit me up. And I think this was like over Snapchat, and I had tried to like text him maybe like one other time, but I also didn't want to be like someone who has repeated like multiple messages, because that's not a good look. And I didn't really realize what was happening until it happened again with another person. And then I kind of started to get the hint, like, oh, okay, like this is what ghosting is, because I'd heard about it, but I didn't really know about it until it was like happening. So yeah, it's really prevalent in hookup and dating culture, especially like using dating apps, because it's so easy to do. Like you just meet this random person, or not meet them, but you meet them virtually, and yeah, it's so easy to just ignore their messages or even block their number. I mean, you know, I've done that. It's kind of like once it started happening to me enough times and I started to realize it was like a common theme, then I kind of picked up on those bad habits. And I've ghosted people before, and honestly, I feel bad about it. Like, it doesn't feel great to be on the other end of it. And I know that firsthand. So I don't know. It was so easy to fall into it, to like also ghost people. But yeah, it's kind of just it's not good. It's not fun to do to other people. What do you think about it?
I want to start by just validating your experience, because it is so common. I've been ghosted plenty of times, and in the earlier times when I first started using dating apps, just like you, I feel like I picked up some of those bad habits. And during that time, I did ghost a lot of people, and it was because I didn't know how to make myself clear, I didn't know how to confront, I didn't know how to speak on what I was looking for, what I wanted, or what I was expecting, or I just didn't know how to speak up for myself or advocate for myself in any way, and so I just kind of let things go, or I would just let things be. But in the closer past, like in the recent past, I have been someone that's been maybe too clear sometimes. And that has been a whole side of a different coin that I did not expect, because people get nasty. People get angry. They get upset when they are rejected or when someone is not interested or loses interest. And I think it's such a human part of our human experience in general, but even more through online dating, because the reality is that you are meeting people through this platform, and if things don't go where you're wanting them to go, or if you just don't notice a connection, and even if after the first date you feel off, or after a few dates you just don't feel like there's chemistry. Now, I'm very honest and I'm very upfront, and I tell someone, hey, I don't think this is going to go anywhere, or I don't think it's going to go where we thought it would. That's my approach now. Was it in the past? Absolutely not. Did I ghost people many times? Absolutely, I did. And I was ghosted many times too. And so I want to say that we need to stop ghosting. That is my approach right now. I want to say like a year out, I've just realized how damaging it is to just not tell someone why you no longer want to speak to them or cutting them off essentially. Because I think it's a lot more human of us to understand that it's okay if we're just not attracted to someone anymore. It's okay if we lose interest. It's okay if we don't want the same thing anymore that we thought we wanted a month ago. Like, we are human. We are able to change. We're shifting all the time, our perspective, our thoughts. So, if that's the case, you should let them know, you know?
Absolutely. I think the experience that really turned me off to ghosting forever, or at least I try to be more mindful now, and like you said, like give some kind of indication, like, hey, sorry, it's just not, I'm not feeling it anymore. What happened was I went on like 2 dates with this guy. On the second date, we got like more intimate, and like there was no indication that I was not feeling him or anything. Like, I know I didn't give any of those signs. Like, it was a fine date. And afterwards, he like asked me out for coffee. And I just didn't know what to say to him. And I also didn't have like a explicit reason. Like you said, sometimes your vibe just changes. And I didn't know how to express that to him in like a kind way, because I didn't even really know how to communicate it myself. So I just ghosted him. I like blocked him on Snapchat, and I felt really, well, I didn't really feel too much about it because I had been ghosting people at that point. But then like a week later, I walked into the Rights Union at, at our school,
Oh my
and
goodness.
you can already tell where I'm going with this. I walk in through the glass doors, and I didn't even see him, like, but I walk in and I just like look up, and just immediately I make eye contact with this guy who I ghosted, and just the look of pure like sadness and like disappointment in his face, like I can still see it in my head. Like, it stuck with me, and that just made me feel so guilty. And it really just made me think, like, what am I doing? Like, this is another human being who has feelings and who I gave no indication or reason for my absence. And yeah, I just realized like how it really can mess with someone's head, because I think it's better to be honest and just say, like, you're cool, I just, you're not the type for me, I don't think we'll be compatible in the long run, than letting someone just sit there with that like absence and question everything that they did and said to you and wonder. Because I mean, that's how I felt when I would get ghosted. I'm like, what was the one thing I did or said that really turned them off, that they never even want to speak to me again? Like, it can really mess with your head, and I realize that now.
Yeah, and I want to speak on just again, I feel like our experiences when you see other people ghosting you and you fall into that trap essentially of thinking it is okay because it's done to you. So it's like, okay, well, if it's done to me, I can do it to others. It is a trap. And at the same time, we have to also learn to accept rejection because to me, rejection is redirection and that's what it is. Okay, so we have to learn that when something isn't meant for us and someone's pulling back or we feel ourselves and our energy and our vibes pulling away, we have to be okay with that. We have to sit with that and say, for some reason, this is not for me at this moment and that's okay. Just being more in tune with our energy and who we are and what we want and what we're looking for. Because I know sometimes it can be really hard to reject someone because you feel bad or, and that was always my concern. I'm such a sensitive person, I'm a very emotional person, so I am always worried and concerned about how it's going to be taken. And I just want to, like, I want to be able to hug someone as I'm saying, like, I'm not interested because some people have taken it in a very hard, negative or difficult manner. But I also want to say that I've had to ghost some people that have just been nasty, like just pure mean, rude, or bad intentioned. And when it comes to ghosting in that scenario, I think that you need to do what's good for your well-being. If you feel like you can't even hold a conversation with this person, or that after you send that message, you don't even want to think about what they're going to respond and you just need to block them, do that for your self-care and for yourself, okay? Like self-preservation of like taking a step back and being like, I don't want to hear what this person has to say back to this, because of what you've noticed in the past or how they've reacted in the past. And I'll say that I've had some really mean and nasty encounters, and I've had to do it myself where I take a step back and I'm like, I'm gonna send this message, but right after that, I'm not even gonna wait to see what they respond because I don't deserve to hear what I can already see coming, from their past words, actions, and whatnot, you know?
And what you're speaking to is like self-preservation and safety. Like,
Yes,
if you don't think this
safety.
person's, like, if you don't think this person is a safe person to reject gently, And again, we're speaking from a woman perspective, mostly messaging men over these dating apps. Like sometimes it is dangerous to reject and say no, and they can retaliate even if they don't like. I mean, again, that's why it's good to vet people and to be careful who you're giving your personal information to right away. But like, let's say they just have your phone number. Sometimes it's better to just block, and you know, that's the end of the situation. You're putting yourself out of their out of harm's way. But I think we're speaking to, you know, a mutual agreement of maybe we met up a couple of times and we just didn't hit it off, whether it's one-sided or not. I love what you said, that rejection is redirection, because that's so true. Like, you're sending that person out back into the world. Like, they will find someone right for them and you will find someone right for you. But I think what dating apps have shown too is like there are so many people out there that are available, and maybe your soulmate isn't on a dating app, but it just shows you like there are people out there, and like you will find someone who's perfect for you. And I don't want people to settle. Like, don't settle for someone just because, you know, whatever reason you think that they might be the only one or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, if dating apps have taught me anything, like there are so many types of people out there, you're gonna find someone right for you. So don't settle, and you know, try and be kind to people if you can.
Yeah, and I also want to speak on the fact that sometimes we meet people that initially we think that it's going to go somewhere, or initially we have strong feelings for, or and like I was saying, it is human of you to maybe shift and change in those emotions. And I think that sometimes I know I personally have done this before because there are some people that I meet that I'm genuinely interested in and I can see a friendship with, and I have gotten like two friendships out of Tinder, and so I personally, if I can see that person and me being someone that can definitely vibe and maybe what I was looking for initially, like a relationship or something, isn't something that I'm seeing so clearly with them at the moment, I want to be honest and I want to say, hey, I think that right now I see you more as a friend, and that doesn't have to mean that I want to take it forward, move forward someday or not. It just means that I like your vibe and I kind of still want to keep in contact with it, and I, like I want to have a friendship if you're open to it. Now, commonly, is that something that people are open to? Sadly, from my experience, no. But I still throw it out there because I'm being honest. There are people that I meet that I'm like, I want to vibe with this person, but I don't want this expectation of us growing into a relationship or this expectation of us growing into something more serious, essentially. So, you know, you just have to be honest and open and transparent as much as you can be. And now I do want to speak on the safety piece that you briefly touched on. I want to say that again, I vet people to the extreme and I don't care. My safety matters and I'm going to make that top priority for me. And so for me, when it comes to safety, I think of people need to know where you are, location. People need to know where you are.
Send up that pin.
Yes. I have, I think, like two or three designated friends that have my information at all times. But when I'm going somewhere, I definitely let them know, hey, I'm supposed to be at XYZ place. I'm gonna meet someone there for lunch. I'm gonna go out for whatever, coffee. And I do that because you never know.
It's true. I know we talked about last episode, like if you're going straight to someone's house, like if you're doing a hookup, like please send your location to someone, let someone know where you are. But even if you are going to a public place, like it's still good practice, I think, just to have, like you said, those designated people who know where you are, who know that you're safe, who care about your safety. And I know people also do little like tricks where like in 20 minutes, I'll call you. Like I'll pretend to take a phone call, and you know, I'll let you know how it's going and if I need you. Or was it like if you call me in 20 minutes, something like that. Like you get a phone call from a friend, like call me and like ask me how I'm doing, and I'll give you a code word of if I need you to come pick me up or if I'm good.
Yeah. I have a close friend that's really into like crime. Well, I'm really into true crime too, but we're very much into like crime. And we have done a little bit of research, and you should be trying to get in contact with your friend that's out at least every like 20 to 30 minutes because it will show. if God forbid something happens,
Yeah.
the cell towers that pick up will only pick up things between like 20 to 30 minutes. I don't know. There's like a cutoff time. So I have friends that will like message me random things, even though it doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about or anything, just to make sure that my phone is at the right cell tower when they're messaging me, and if something was to happen, that is where my phone will be. Again, safety. I think you can never be safer. I've had situations, and I'm gonna speak on a story that I told you about, where I had a guy that I had been talking to for about almost a month. So I trusted them, I had vetted them, we had been speaking for a while, and just due to scheduling conflicts, we hadn't been able to like set something up sooner. And regardless, I normally like to take some time before I really meet up with someone, because I do like to do that whole vetting process and being sure that we have somewhat of a click through text. And when we set up our date, we had planned to go out to eat, and I had let them basically come and pick me up. And when they picked me up, I started noticing that we were not going towards this restaurant. Like, I didn't know where we were going, and in my head I'm like, I want to hold trust that maybe this person's taking like another route or something. But in the moment I was so confused, and I was like, I don't know what's going on. He took me to his house,
Oh no.
completely like ignored the fact that he had said we're going out to eat, like acted like that was never the plan or like that never existed, and just took me to his place. And let me just say, I have never been more terrified in my life, because first of all, I felt like I didn't really know the area. I'm in this person's space, so I'm in their car, I'm in their home, I'm in their area of safety. And on top of that, the home, like where they lived, was not safe. Like it was not a safe
Oh.
place. Like it was not a safe area that I felt okay in. And in my head, I'm like, this is it. Like, this is the horror stories that you hear. Because, first of all, that's not okay. If you're changing your
No.
plans on someone, you need to let someone know. If you don't have the right intention of supposedly going out to eat somewhere, or you're lying about what you're trying to do and hang out or whatever, you need to be clear. Like, you can't just do that. That's terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying. Like, obviously the listeners can't see my face while you were telling that story, but I was cringing so hard. That is like blaring red alarm sounds, like above red flags. That's so scary. I'm so sorry that that happened to you. Like, I can't imagine, like, probably like your mind was racing. Like, anything could have happened, and that's literally terrifying. Like, meeting up with strangers and not like being in his vehicle, you said, like you're in his space. Like, oh, that's so creepy. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, it was so hard for me, and after that I was terrified of ever having someone pick me up or
Right.
be in my space. And there's something, there's like that divide between letting someone treat you, and so like they pick you up and they go through this process, or that safer route of like you driving somewhere. And I do urge people to try to take the safer route at all times if possible, but in that moment, I didn't think of it that way, and I thought I was safe because I had been talking to this person for a month, and we had called each other. Like, I felt like I had vetted the person enough to not be worried about this, but it still happened. And I do want to also speak on a personal story where I didn't even have to meet the person to see that they were an unsafe person. So I had been speaking to this guy for like 2 or 3 days. It was like a weekend. And they had me on social media. I had given them my Instagram, and this was when I was like less mindful, I guess, of who was on my social media. So it was more so recently. And they had texted me or something, like at 11, and I decided to go and just get on TikTok. I was bored, and I was just trying to entertain myself, and I posted a video from TikTok onto my Instagram platform, and I got this message from them on Instagram, and he's like, "What are you doing? What are you up doing?" And I was like, "Just chilling, like watching videos." And he was like, "Oh," and then he FaceTimes me, and I'm like,
Jeez.
"What is going on?" And he was like, "Well, why are you on TikTok, or why are you online and you're not talking to me? Like, you should be talking to me." And
What?
I was like, "What the f what?" I literally looked at him and I was like, "Excuse me, like I'm allowed to do and have my own life and simply just not want to text you back."
I don't even like when my friends randomly FaceTime me without warning, like let
Yeah,
alone some person I barely know.
I was really taken aback, and also just the aggressive nature of how he came at me. He basically was trying to say that I like the better thing to do if I didn't have quote unquote nothing to do, because that was what he was inferring. Like, I wasn't doing anything because I was on TikTok. That why wasn't I talking to him or responding to his messages? And I'm like, it took me aback because I had never been treated with that type of energy. And I just right automatically started thinking, if I was dating this man, I basically am not allowed to have personal time, I guess. I'm not allowed to take a step back and just do my own thing. Like, apparently they're supposed to control what I do on my phone. It was disgusting. I was really disgusted, and after that I had to block them because I felt unsafe. There was more that came from that conversation of how he spoke to me, but I was like, we've literally known each other for a weekend and you're already treating me this way.
I'm like laughing, but it's like the ridiculousness of it because like you said, if this person is willing to act this way, so aggressive, so entitled after 3 days, then like you said, a whole relationship with them, I can only see that going a toxic like down a toxic route because like how is that your first thing that you're gonna like you said you come at you with so much of this aggressive energy. It's just like why are you so aggressive? Why are you mad at me? I've only known you for a few days.
That was so
That's
scary.
wild.
Yeah, I had never ever experienced something like that to that nature, and I was like, excuse me. Yeah, it was just not it.
And I think that's like the darker side of dating apps too, because it exposes you to these people and you don't really know someone's true nature until you start talking to them, until you start getting to know them more. I guess it was a good situation in that at least he showed his true colors in a few days and you didn't, waste too much of your time with this person who's aggressive, but it's really scary and that's the reality. Like you don't know how someone is going to act, how they're going to treat you until you get to know them more.
Exactly. And I do want to say that even with the boundaries, even with the vetting, because I do a lot of both. I do a lot of expressing boundaries, I do a lot of vetting. And even then, I've had situations where I'm terrified, I'm scared, I'm put into situations where I'm nervous about my safety, but I'm also nervous about that person's intentions when they meet me, and how they're treating me and how they act and what situations they might put me in. And so I just want to speak on that. Like, you. I hate to say this, but you have to have some form of action plan. I know personally, I always keep like, what's that called? That spray. Oh, what is it?
Oh, pepper
Pepper
spray.
spray. Yes.
Sorry, I did not know what you meant until, yeah, pepper spray.
I always keep pepper spray. I always keep just something that makes me feel safe. I think you need to take the precautions necessary for yourself. And like you said, the reality is that we don't know who we're meeting with. Even if you talk for a while, even if you vet them as much as you can, you never know. You really don't.
Yeah, because you're like, I feel like you can't really fully know a person through just text, or maybe it would be good. Like, I know we talked about, like, if you want to exchange phone numbers or Snapchats, like, to do video calls, maybe that is better. But yeah, over text, I feel like tone can also be misinterpreted. Like, there's just such a difference between over messages and in person. So, yeah, it's a whole different world.
Yeah, have you do you think that you've had an experience, like a negative experience that you'd want to speak on where you felt like you didn't really know that person, or like something where you just felt off?
I'll tell you this story. So it's kind of a wild ride. So I met this person. I matched with him on a dating app, Tinder, and one of the first messages he sent me, he just sent me like hi, and then he sent me can you pick me up? And I was like the first message, and I was like, and this was like my first time kind of using Tinder. Like again, it's kind of this period where I'm like just getting into dating apps, seeing like who's out there. So I thought this is amusing, and I said, from where are you? And he was at his school and I was at my school, and I was just and we were at different schools, and I was like, oh, I can't pick you up right now, and also I don't know you. So like what's that about? I don't know exactly what I said to him. I just basically said like I can't pick you up right now, but whatever. And he said, oh, okay, no problem, can I take you out? to dinner, and I was like again, kind of just like erratic messages, and I found this very amusing. I was just like, okay, like, you want to take me out to dinner, you're gonna
okay
pay,
wait,
sure.
can I stop you?
Yeah,
Because
please.
I have to always throw this in here.
Yeah.
I am obsessed with astrology, obviously, if you've listened, heard.
Oh,
And I love Mal because
yeah.
Mal, can you tell the listeners what your sign is?
I'm a Libra,
Yes.
and I know you
And
have
not even
Libra
just
placement.
Libra, but her whole chart is
Oh
like
God, you want to
pure.
expose me
Yeah,
on
I'm
this
sorry. I
podcast?
love
Go
you.
ahead.
I love you. It's pure air. And so her saying that this is amusing is making me laugh because of course it's amusing to her. She's thinking like this is a hilarious man.
Ask me what his sign was. He was a Capricorn, if that tells you anything, but
Okay.
same
Okay, something to
space.
think about. Okay,
So
continue.
funny. Yeah, I'm an airhead. I definitely, for sure. Like, strange situations get thrown my way. Even this story I'm about to tell you is probably like disturbing, but I'm gonna be laughing throughout. So so anyway, he's like, let me take you out to dinner. I'm like, sure. So we make plans to go to dinner, and I tell my friends about this, and they were like, oh, let's come with you. Like, we'll go into the restaurant, we'll spy on you the whole time. So thankfully, I did have some kind of action plan. I had that safety of my friends spying on us at the restaurant. But even that, we kind of treated as a joke. 'Cause again, this is kind of like one of my first few dates, like on a dating app. I'm like, let's just like make it like, you know, it's gonna be funny. So I meet up with this guy. And he come like I see him at the restaurant, and just right away something is off about him. Like there's just some kind of disconnect. Like we're talking, and I feel like I'm telling him stuff, and he's like not fully listening or understanding what I'm saying. And thinking back on this experience, I think there is some there was something there was just some kind of disconnect between us. Like whatever that was, I don't like fully blame him, but I just, you know, we didn't fully get each other. But again, I stayed on the date. I'm like, okay, let's just see where this goes. The whole date is kind of weird, kind of funny. There's just something off about this guy, and it's kind of hard to even explain. But it's like I would ask him a question, and he would respond in like this long-winded answer that didn't really answer my questions. And I would just kind of pretend like I understood him, and I'd be like, oh, okay.
Of course, yes.
So yeah, all of
The
this,
people
totally normal.
pleaser in Libra is like, yes, I understand you, and I'm balancing this energy of what you're saying and what I'm saying.
No, literally, like me fully not under comprehending this man. I'm like, oh yeah, that's so interesting.
My
So
space.
this is
Okay.
all because he paid for dinner. So I was like, anything is everything's fine. So
Oh, we should talk about that after. Okay, continue.
oh yes, that is definitely an important point, part of dating app etiquette. So well, dating etiquette in general. So okay. So we finished dinner, and let me just say too, like I met up with my friends like halfway through dinner. We went to like the bathroom, and I was just like telling them what was going on, and I was like, I'm confused. I think he's confused, but like we're good. And the waitress was confused too. It was just such like a weird time. But so you think I would like, you know, go home after that, right? But no, of course not. I went with him, went back to his house, and he was like, oh, I have two houses. Like, this is my second property. Like, I should also say that he met me there and I drove us. So I think he walked to the restaurant. He also had a backpack on. I don't know what that was about. You know, just like little things throughout the night where I was just like, this is weird. But again, I was still there for the ride. Like, I was also involved. I cannot take
Yes.
the blame off of
You
myself.
just you saw the backpack and you were like, what adventure are we about to go on?
Then, yeah, exactly. I was like, Dora the Explorer, let's go in. Let's explore. So okay, so I take him back to this. They're laughing. Okay, so we go back to his quote unquote second property. I drive up to this house that has like a wire gate, and it's like completely dark inside. There's no lights on. We walk in. I think the door was just open. Like I'm trying to remember. We walk in, and just immediately the house has like a weird vibe to it. There's no furniture I can see. The lights are out. I think the only light was on was in the bedroom. And immediately he starts like we walk into the door, and before I can even question like what this house is or like what is going on, he starts grabbing me, and I think he like kissed me. Like he like immediately he was getting very handsy and like was very expectant. Like, you know, we came here for a reason. The lights are off. And whatever, I kiss him, and I'm just like, what? Like, there's no furniture in here. I like tried to question him. I'm like, this
Mal,
is
my
weird, right?
face right now.
Again, I'm laughing about this. Honestly, it's not funny. Like, it's not okay that he just grabbed me and like didn't ask for consent. And I'm not at all like advocating for that. I think that's gross. It was just, I was in this, it's kind of like one of those experiences I think back on and I don't know where my head was at. I was just there and I was very complicit and I was just like okay with it.
Yeah.
And I don't fully know why. Again, it was just like a it was like the
No.
time period.
And
Yeah.
you're okay. I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone listening to this has had at least one experience where they're like, "What was I thinking? What was going through my head?" Because I've
Yeah.
had plenty of those, even after the extremities that I sometimes can go to. So just please know
Right.
that no one is judging you. We're loving this, and we just want to
Yeah,
hear what happens.
again, it was very go with the flow, you know, my air, Libra sun, Gemini moon. I'm like, let's see what's going on. So, so anyway, I tried to question him about it and he just was not giving me answers again. This man, like there was some kind of language barrier, except we were both speaking English. I'll just say that. Like there was something not clicking. So whatever, I like push it to the back of my mind. I'm like, this is fine, this abandoned house that I don't even know if he lives here or not. That's totally fine. And yeah, I guess that's pretty much the end of the story. I mean, there's more, like we spent the night together. I don't know again why we did that. And again, I was definitely complicit in this. I hooked up with this man
Yeah.
several days later and continued to until I got to a point where he just got kind of obsessive with me. And I think that like that first date was definitely one big red flag that I just ignored and continued to ignore. But he just got ex obsessive with me after like 1 week of us like casually like hooking up and hanging out. He said that he loved me and I was very taken aback, very thrown off by that. And more than anything, that's what scared me more than like taking me to the abandoned house. just because I realized like how like invested he was in this emotionally, and it also clicked with me that we had never talked about what we wanted out of this, about our intentions, and like hearing that I love you just completely like threw me out of the comfort zone, completely shocked me. And after that, I had to stop seeing him. And yeah, it just like when you don't know the other person's intentions and you're both just there without talking, without communicating, just so much like confusion and gray can
It's so
happen.
messy. Too much gray
Right.
area.
Yes.
There's no substance. It's messy. I think that
Yeah.
that has happened to me many times, and even when we've had supposedly quote unquote the same end goal, I've also had situations where I'm thrown off. And now you're just reminding me of this story about this one guy that I was talking to for a while. Like, I want to say between 1 to 2 months. It was definitely a while. And it was going super well, super like really good communication. There were so many positives, and he was treating it as if like we're about to date, basically. Like we are moving towards dating slash relationship, and I took it that way, and everything that they were saying was basically towards that route. But since it was like kind of we matched right before December break started, so they were gonna leave back into their town, and we were gonna be not in the same space anymore, like in the same area. And so we kept talking, and then they had like a few scheduling things right after, like when they got back, and I was also very busy. And so when it was like finally time for us to meet, because we've been talking for about a month or two, they ghosted me. And I was, after that experience, a lot of my close friends will listen to this and be like, ah, yes, I remember. After that experience, I was like, what the f like, how can you speak to someone for months and not have the audacity to just say, hey, I'm no longer interested, or hey, I don't think this is gonna go where I want it to be, or hey, I'm not in the same headspace that I was. And I say that
Right.
because I would be very clear with someone if that was the case. And it makes me very sad that they didn't think to respect me in that way.
Yeah, it's all about respect. Like, do you respect this
Exactly.
other person's emotions enough to just tell them? And also, Sarah, like, I know you're such a reasonable person. You're very communicative. Like, I'm sure you gave vibes off to this person that, like, you would have been okay with being let down. You know, it's when it's just like nothing.
Yeah.
And it's just you're left with the questions of why.
Yes. And again, I mean, I've been in all types of situations, but I do think that that for me was like mind blowing. And I think after that situation was when I became so blunt and open about my intentions, and when I lost that connection with someone, or when I was no longer feeling a vibe. And it's happened, like I'll literally go on a date, and right after that date, I know myself. Like, I don't, I've tried to discuss this with other people, and I would love to hear maybe your thought process. And for me, one day it's typically enough, personally. And I think it's just because of my energy and the way that I am, and my just how I pick up on people. And so for me, after one day, I'm pretty positive on what I see happening and not happening. And again, maybe people are going to completely disagree with me, and that's okay. But I have gone on plenty of first dates where right after I'm like, this is not happening, and I'm letting them know right now that I didn't feel like I didn't feel chemistry, or I didn't feel like we were on the same page, or I didn't feel like we communicated effectively or whatnot. Because there has been so many times where I have ignored that gut feeling, and I have betrayed it, and I have said, I'm gonna try, and I'm gonna try again, and I'm gonna give it a chance. And I have basically gotten stabbed in the back many, many times over, for my kindness, and for, wanting to give people a second chance, and wanting to be mindful of others, and understanding. But I think after just so much of that, at this point, I'm very strict about what I think what I think is right for me and not. And I'm finding more value in listening to that gut feeling. And I don't know if you agree, how many dates maybe you think are appropriate, but I would love to hear what you think about that.
Yeah. Well, first I just want to respond to what you were speaking on, which is I feel like the dating apps harden you. Like once you've been through enough experiences, you're just kind of like sick of the bullshit. Can I curse on here? Okay. You get sick of the bullshit. And you just kind of like you said, I feel like it's also a good thing though, because you learn more about yourself and about like that intuitive piece, like what you were saying, like you know your body, you know what you're feeling after a first date, how maybe the energy, what they're giving you, like you either you've seen it before or you like what they're giving you, that energy. You learn a lot. I think it's kind of like I said, it hardens you, but I mean, maybe it's necessary. And in this day and age, I feel like with our dating hookup culture climate, you kind of just get to that point where, yeah, you just know yourself more and you can kind of read people's intentions before, you quote unquote waste too much of your time. But as for how many dates until you need until you really know someone, I think it's interesting you said after one first date, I feel like I would need a few to really get to know someone just to see, because I think I'm just very wary of people and I don't fully trust people right away. So I think after one first date, I would still be like, but when are you gonna crack? When is your like mask gonna slip
I
off?
think, I just think in my experience, the mask falls off immediately, and I'm like, okay, this is not happening. And I
True.
think maybe
I
that's
feel like
just,
you're really good at reading people, though, I will
yeah,
say.
I think so too. And I'm also just mindful of myself. I know myself so well. I know if I'm gonna truly be able to see myself with someone. And even if it's, again, even if it's not a relationship, but a friendship or a connection in general, I can just sense if our vibes are clashing or not. And so, in my personal experience, this is how I think. I don't want to lead anyone on. I don't want to give anyone false expectations or hopes or whatnot. And I want to be as blunt and as honest as I humanly can be while being, kind and understanding. And so, it's funny because my parents, they're constantly like, asking, oh, how did this go? How did that go? And how is this going? And I'm just like, I stopped talking to them a while ago. Like, I don't know who you're talking about. And they're just like, oh, I think they worry a lot more about my bluntness than anyone else. But I prefer to stay true to myself, and that's just kind of the route that I'm going. Yes,
Yes.
and I think that when I find someone that I definitely hit it off with, I think also if I was to find someone that I can sense that I need a little bit more time, I would give it that time. But I guess in most of the experience that I've had, I just know right off the bat, and so I prefer to make that decision sooner than later because my time should not be wasted just as much as I don't deserve to waste their time.
Right. Yeah, and I keep going back to that too because that is such an important thing. Like our time is important. Our time is important and other people's time is important. And when you are faced on dating, like when you're faced with the fact that dating apps shows you so many people, like it's very valid for people to like, you know, not want to have their time wasted. I totally get that. I think for me, definitely if like if a first date is bad, I will not go on a second date. Like I think that's not necessary. Like I can tell if it's not going to work out with someone. But like you said, if it's going well, I think I just like to be more cautious. Like so I'll kind of like, you know, be tentative, but like still excited and like express to them like, oh, I had a really great time. Like right away, schedule a second date. I'll do that. But yeah, I don't know if I had to put a number on it, I would say maybe like 3 good dates in a row. And then well, I guess it depends what you're looking for. Is it a friendship? Is it a relationship? Is it a, you know, casual hookup? I feel like I'm kind of in the middle of that right now. I just got back on into dating apps actually like recently after not after like swearing off of them for like 8 months. So, but I'm going back into it very slow and steady because like I kind of talked about in the first half and I said earlier, just like I was going into it with a very different intention in the past. And now I think I want to go into it more slow and steady, really looking for human connection and like, am I going to be compatible with this person? Again, whether it's just to hang out with them as a friend or not put any label on it, just to get to know someone new. So I think I'm still trying to find out, like, I'm still kind of working through my boundaries and still working on like who I am and what I want. So what I'm hearing from you is that you really know yourself well and you've learned through experiences like what you want, what you don't want. And I'm still kind of in the process of that. So I think that's why also I'm very tentative, but I think with more confidence and with more experience, I'll know sooner, like, yes, this person will be a match for me, or no, I do not want to be around this person anymore.
Yeah, I'm so intrigued to hear what people have to say about this, but I want to see if you have any funny stories, like anything that you're like, OMG, I have to talk about this because I have a few and I want to hear you speak on
Yes.
some.
Yes, I have one that I remembered I wanted to talk about when we were talking about ghosting. So I met this guy through, you know, one of the apps, of course, and we started talking, we started hanging out. This was like sometime last year or so. Actually, maybe like 2 years ago. And we started seeing each other casually for a few weeks, maybe like a month or so. Very, again, very casual, you know, no labels. It was totally cool. We were like also like compatible. Like I thought he was just like a cool, funny dude. So I liked hanging out with him. And then a few months passed later and we like stopped talking regularly, but I don't know. He was always just kind of there in the background. And then I had like moved to a different place. And then he was like, oh, you moved? Like, let me come over to your new place. And I sent him the address and he was like, oh, it's kind of far away from my house. Keep in mind, I had driven over to where he lived and it was like 20, 25 minutes away and I had no problem with that. But I was like, oh, well, this is where I
I
live.
love,
Like,
wait, I love the
yeah.
eye roll that just happened. I wish people could see this. Please continue.
Just picture me eye rolling throughout this whole thing because I think about this guy now and it's just a big eye roll. This guy.
Love it.
But yeah, so whatever. Sent him the address and he tells me, he's like, okay, I'm on my way. So I get ready, whatever, wait for him that night. He never shows up. I never see him again, like after that day. Well, that's not totally true, but like for months, just completely ghosted me. And it was such a classic ghost. Like he had told me he was on his way. I had already gotten ready, and I just did not hear from him. And I was just like, wow, like, yep, that's dating apps for you. So anyway, literally a year passes later. I like forget this guy exists. And he randomly messages me on Facebook out of the blue and he's like, hey, how have you been? And I was like, no, you're not about to come at me with this, like, hey, how are you nonsense? Like, where did you go? I literally was like, the last message I heard from you is that you're on your way and you never showed up. Explain. And this man tells me that on the way to my apartment, he got into a car accident where he flew out of the windshield and his phone got destroyed. And that's why he never told me that he wasn't coming.
My
And then
face is like in shock right now because I have so many feelings.
I still do too. And he told me that he's like in the hospital for like a week and whatever, but oh, he's all fine now. And now he's messaging me on Facebook. And when I tell you that I did such a deep dive to find out if this car accident actually happened, like
I am dead.
I tried to Google it. I looked at local records. I was looking at like the news articles because he told me, because I looked back on when this text was. It was like sometime in the fall. So I went back to like that month and like was checking the records. I did not see anything. I even went on one of those websites where it's like you can like look up someone's personal record. But it was like a scam. It was like a scam website. It ended up not working out. It was like white pages or something. And I was like, yeah, I cannot find this information. I can't verify if this is true. So I took him at his word, but I still like to this day, after talking to that man some more, and then we had started seeing each other again very casually, and I just did not like what I saw from him. He proved himself to be an untrustworthy person, and then that definitely makes me think that he was just straight up lying to me, which is really wild. Like, I am someone who I'll believe you. Like, if you tell me something, I have no reason to question you. I have no reason to think you're lying. But to tell such a crazy lie that you got into like this deadly car accident, men are just out here lying on the app, so be careful. So yeah, all of that to say, just he proved himself to be an untrustworthy person. That really makes me believe that that story was fake. It just is really wild to me that someone would make up such a wild story. Like, I felt bad for him. It was just crazy.
I have a lot to say, but I think that the best part of this story is the investigator in you that had to try to find this accident, because that is like 1,000% me. I will find out who you've been voting for. Like, I will find out like what are your
Yes.
like I need information on you. Like, I need to know who you are. But I love that, because that would be me. I would definitely do that. Again, I we don't know. We don't know, but that's a wild ride, and wow. Could someone go to that extreme? I believe so.
Right. That's the thing. I believe it that he would lie about that, and that's wild to me.
Now that you just mentioned that, and like the time that went in between not talking and stuff, it's bringing up flashbacks of incidents that I've had and I've been in. And now I'm gonna speak on one of the stories that has been an ongoing like 2 to 3 year story, basically.
Man.
I know. I matched with this one guy early, like 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and we spoke some. I met him, and I thought he was very immature for his age. I didn't feel like we connected or clicked, and it was a super quick meetup. It wasn't like a date or anything, because we were just like in the same space at the same time, essentially. And so, after I met him and I felt that, I actually think he ghosted me, or I'm trying to remember because it's been a while, but all I know is that I think we spoke a little bit after, and then we kind of both ghosted each other, essentially. Or yeah, I think so. I'm trying to remember if I said something about how I didn't like his, like I felt like he was a little immature, but I don't recall much. I know that what happened after that was that this kid messages me like almost, I want to say 8 months later. And during the period of when we stopped talking, and about a month before he tried to contact me, I found out that he had been in a relationship. So he had been in a relationship for a while, and after this relationship had ended, he had tried to contact me. So he was contacting me through Snap, and I was being very like, I don't want to say rude, but I was like, what's going on? Like, why are you contacting me? Like, what are you asking for? Like, what do you want? Because I am a very intentional person. So why are you here? What are you looking for? And essentially this guy was like, no, like I forgot why we stopped talking earlier, and like I want to, try to meet up again. Like, I want to try to go take you like on a date. So he starts saying all these things, and of course I'm not a mean human, and I'm trying to listen and be mindful. So I give him another chance, essentially. And we start talking, and one of the things that happened in the first, like in the first half of when we first met earlier, was that he was very religious and I'm very spiritual, and I just know that we had very different belief systems, and it didn't really bother me personally. There was a lot of things that he was asking of me religiously that I was open to, and he was like, he was celibate, and I was like, okay, that's fine. I'm very respectful, again, of people's boundaries, and so I had accepted a lot of things, and I thought he understood my beliefs and he was okay with it in the beginning or that first round that we started talking. Well, in the second round, I'm like, I want to again make clear who I am, what, like, all the things about me. And you know this, I'm very witchy. I, you know, consider myself a witch. And so I have a lot of crystals and decks and just many things. And he knew this, or I thought he knew this because I made it very explicitly clear.
Very explicit.
Yes, I tell him this. I'm like, hey, I just want to let you know that this is me, this is part of who I am, and I want to make sure that you're okay with it. Well, he kind of brushed it off, kept going, was like, yeah, like, that's fine with me, I don't mind, like, we don't have to have the same belief system. So I'm like, okay, I'm just making sure that we're clear. Well, tell me how, about like 2 or 3 weeks after we're talking, he sends me a 2-page paper basically through text. Where he's saying, hey, I'm sorry I've been so short with you, or I haven't been messaging you back. I've just realized that our religious views and our beliefs, don't match. And I'm like, yes, I told you this like 2 weeks ago because I was worried that that would be a concern. And so at this point, I'm a little, I don't want to say snappy, but I'm just like, that is fine. Like, that is a very valid thought process, but I'm like, you just wasted weeks of my time and energy
Yes, exactly.
when I had made this clear earlier if this was going to be a problem. Like,
Like, what even was the reason for him to go forward if he knew this from the beginning? It's so confusing.
exactly. He knew this a year ago, he knew this a few weeks ago. Like, I don't know what else I could do to make it clear. And so that does not end there, because after that happened and I sent him this other message basically saying, you know, I respect your beliefs and everything. I basically told him that he needed to be a lot more intentional and clear from the beginning, and that he should have communicated more with me about this thought earlier on instead of waiting. But anyways, what happened after that was that he did ghost me, and literally, I want to say a month ago, I got a friend request from him on Facebook, and I'm just
Oh
like,
my
is this a
goodness.
joke? Like, is this round three? Is that what we're supposedly doing here? Like, I don't know.
That's absolutely ridiculous. Like, I can't even, like, what is the thought process behind his mind? And also, I feel like that's not even like an uncommon story. I feel like there's just so many experiences, and like from other people I've heard too, where they just meet people on dating apps and there's such a disconnect. Like you just don't know what's running through someone's mind. Like the way that they approach you and approach situations, it's so, I don't even know, it's like indescribable. It's like, who is this person and why are they even talking to me if they don't see it going anywhere? And wasting, again, wasting time.
Yes.
People, why are we wasting time?
Yes,
We
don't
have
waste
so little
time.
time on Earth.
Don't waste
Please.
time. Don't waste time, please. I'm a big person on again, being honest, being straightforward, and not wasting time. So that was an interesting story, and of course, I'm sure we both have a gazillion more, but I do
Yes.
want to speak on essentially our experience. I know that we're both bisexual, and I
Yes.
want to touch that a little bit because I feel like my experiences on dating apps have been very much lacking in being able to connect with women, and it's been hard for me because I think that, again, most of these apps are very geared towards heterosexual relationships. It's very much geared towards that. And most of the time, whenever I do put my preferences as both, I'm hit with people just looking for a third or looking for a quote unquote unicorn. And that is so upsetting because it makes me sad. It's like I'm not able to connect as frequently with women, but also I feel like this search for a third sometimes, I get it. People are being very intentional about what they're looking for, but at the same time, I don't like how it's sometimes portrayed. I know in bios it'll be like, you know, looking for like someone to give us a good time, and it's like, this third person shouldn't be like coming. I mean, I'm going off now on something else.
No,
But
go
you know what
off.
I
I mean,
mean?
I
Like, this
agree.
third person shouldn't be like this addition and like supposed to pleasure you both. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I just think the way that sometimes it's framed, it looks so, like, inconsiderate, maybe? I don't know if that's the word, but that's kind of been my experience.
Yeah, and I agree. It kind of like puts a lot of pressure on this supposed third person to like be faced with these two people when you're kind of just on there. You know, majority of people are kind of just there for one person. And I think, you know, if you're polyamorous, that's a whole different conversation. And maybe there should be apps like directed towards those people, which there might be. You know, I haven't done my research, but like what gets me is when it's kind of like the switcheroo where I'll be on a girl's dating profile. I'm like, oh, this girl's so pretty, she looks so interesting, and then I scroll and the very last picture is her with like a boyfriend, and it's like, oh yeah, and my boyfriend, like we're looking for a third. I'm like,
Yes.
girl, I thought you were single, I'm trying to take you out, I don't want this man.
Literally, and it's happened to me where even like you were saying, like you start swiping and at the end it's like looking to give my boyfriend a good time. And I'm like okay, I understand you're being very straightforward and, you know, very intentional, but also I don't know, it just makes me sad. Like, where are all the beautiful women that just want other women? Like, I have such a hard time finding those connections, and yeah, it just makes me sad.
Yeah, and I will say, like talking about this, it's kind of nice to have this feeling like validated and normalized, because I thought it was just me who was having trouble connecting with other women, like as a bisexual woman on dating apps. And I even told you before, like we started recording, like it kind of even made me question my sexuality, because I'm like, am I really bi? Like I just keep meeting these men and hooking up with them, but I realized like I'm not being shown a lot of women. Like I literally sometimes have to set my preferences to just women just to be able to see other women, because I literally will get bombarded with man after man after man. And I will say I do rarely match with women too, so maybe, you know, I'm not always someone else's cup of tea, which is totally fine, but it just feels like the pool is so much more limited for some reason. And I don't know if that has to do with like setting your dating preferences to certain things, but yeah, I don't know. It's just for some reason, and personal experience, speaking from my personal experience, it's just been easier to match and to connect with men on these dating apps than it has been with women. And I don't know. Yeah, let's explore why. I don't know why. I need an answer to. Ladies, where you at? I'm trying to connect with you.
Please give answers. I
Give me
also
a
want to
Sarah up.
say, I think, I mean, part of it might be the apps that we're using, like they are very heteronormative. Do you have anything else that you want to add? Any lasting story, any last piece of
Well, I know you wanted, when I was telling my story earlier, you had said something about like paying on the first date. Did you want to touch on that?
Yes, let's dive a little deep on that. Okay, so
Yes.
I want to hear, what do you think is like the correct way to go about paying for dates? Like, who do you think is in charge? What are you comfortable with? What is typically your route? Just give me your tea, please. I want all the tea.
All right. Yes. So I will be completely honest, as much as I am for like, you know, gender abolitionism and like, you know, it's not, there's no two gender binary, I still very much play into the stereotype of the man paying on the first date, you know, if I'm the woman and being treated and taken out. I'll go Dutch though with someone, like if they're honest with me and they're just like, oh, like can we split this? Like I don't mind that. Especially if it's like a cheaper date, like coffee or something. But if we're going out to dinner, I would love it if the other person paid for me. Or in general, yeah, if it's a woman too, like I just really like to be taken care of. And I think that's part of like my personality and like who I will be in the relationship. Like I'm more of a, you know, if I may be so bold, I'm more of a submissive person. And that's how my personality comes out. That's who I am, like in a relationship, in the bedroom, stuff like that. So I feel like if someone is willing to pay for my, you know, pay for the date, I think that means we're compatible in that way. That they, because I also would, I wouldn't want someone to pay for me if they didn't have the means to, or if they didn't want to do that. Like as long as that's okay with them and they're kind of on the same page and they're like, oh yeah, I like being the more dominant person. That's kind of like how I like my relationships. What about you?
I have so many points to make off of what you just said. I first just want to start off by saying that I'm so happy that you are, again, you know yourself, you know that you do tend to be more submissive, you know that this is a role that you enjoy taking, you enjoy being taken out, you enjoy that treatment, and that is so valid, and it's amazing that you clearly have that, like, that mentality of this is what I would like. And so, and you're also open to all the other possibilities, because I could have, I mean, this could be a whole podcast episode, but I will say that in my personal experience, I do also love the idea of being taken out, but sadly, and I'm going to say sadly because this is a sad reality for a lot of people, I have seen that a lot of times when I have gone out with men who have paid for my date, they have a lot of expectations on what I am then willing to offer in return, apparently, in their mindset, from what I understand. And I'm not okay with that, because I think that if you're taking me out on a date, it should be no strings attached. I don't owe you anything. I am simply wanting to spend time with you, and that time is, you know, mutual. Like, you're spending time with me, and I know that you're, like, financially putting something in. But if you're going to have this expectation, tell me so that I can pay for my own things. And so I think because of my experiences in that realm, I have become a lot more, like, I'll pay for my thing. You don't have to worry about it, because I don't like the expectations that are placed on me. I don't think it's right that this is common, because I've heard it many, many, many times. But in my personal experience, because of that, I have just learned to pay for my own things. And even if someone is like, no, I want to take you out, I typically like to pay for my own things. It's very few times where I feel comfortable enough to let them pay. And when I know that they have understood my boundaries, they are clear about what I'm looking for and what I'm not okay with. And again, it's as if, like, to them, paying for this is like an automatic consent for anything else, and it's not.
That's such a huge point, which I'm glad you brought that up, because you're right. Like, people will go into it with expectations like, oh, I'm paying for the date, like, you're gonna come home with me afterwards. Like, that's what they're thinking, but they don't communicate that, and then it becomes like this awkward situation that can very quickly turn into a dangerous situation if you don't have that communication. And yeah, you're right, it's sad how common it is. And yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's such like a I feel like it's just indicative of so many other things, like, again, gender roles and like societal expectations. Again, you could definitely talk about this in another podcast, and I think you should, but yeah, it's just sad when people go into with expectations and you're not on the same page, and then it puts the person in the awkward position of, okay, well, because I mean, people also feel guilty, right? When it makes the other person uncomfortable too, like, they might feel guilt and feel like they should, you know, if this person is expecting something, maybe I should do it because they paid for my date. But it's like, you know, your worth is so much more than a $20 dinner. So, like, please, you know, it's such an easy trap to fall into, but if you can, again, this goes into the safety, let someone know where you are. If you're not, you know, if you don't want to go home with someone, text a friend to pick you up. But
And I want to be just clear, you do not owe anyone anything, absolutely nothing. Even if you've consented to something beforehand and in the moment you don't want it, you don't owe them. That's it. It doesn't matter what they've paid for, it doesn't matter what they've done for you, it doesn't matter what they've treated you to. It's not okay. Like, unless this is like a clear exchange where everyone is understanding of what is happening and where things are going, it's not okay. And so, again, I've been put in a very unsafe situations because of it. And I just like to be clear, and it's sad because now my mentality is, I got this. I don't want you to think that you, like, I owe you. So I got this. And so also, I think speaking very openly with the person that you're going to go on a date with, about what their expectations are in terms of who pays and, what you're looking for, obviously we spoke about that already, but in terms of who pays, because let me be honest, sometimes a dinner date isn't accessible to someone, and I'm okay with that. I'm asking you to be honest and express that to me, and I'm also asking you to then still be willing to do something that's not come to my crib, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I've been talking about this, if you don't have if you don't have the finances to go out on a dinner date, you can say, hey, let's meet at the park and let's go out for a walk, let's go for a hike. You don't have to pay money, like, to go. You can go to the library and get a nice book and then just meet and, like, talk about it, annotate it, I don't know, do that something.
That is such a good idea.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, you don't have to make this expensive, and I personally don't have those expectations. Of course, if you're talking to someone that is holding you to these expectations and you're okay with it, then you need to also just communicate with them. But I'm just
saying, on the same page.
Exactly. What I'm saying is that I think most individuals will be understanding. And if that's the case for you and you can't afford it, or it's just not accessible for you at the time, or even doing something on the cheaper end is better for you, especially for a first date, just because you're getting to know someone, just be honest, you know, like, talk about it, be upfront, and again, the intention piece is everything.
So, no, that's so true.
That's just
I will also say, during these COVID times, maybe an outdoor date is a better idea. Go on a social distance walk. That's always nice. Kiss over the masks.
How romantic. Okay, I think we're good. And I just want to say again, thank you so much for sharing your experiences, for sharing pieces of your story, and just being so vulnerable and open and honest. I think everyone's going to enjoy this, because we all love to hear stories. I personally am one that am always down for stories. And when it comes to online dating, there's a lot to unpack.
I know, we could have been going for 6 hours, but we had to stop it somewhere.
Yeah.
But Sarah, thank you so much for having me. This was so fun to talk about this with you. I love your podcast. I listen every week, as the listener should. Every Monday it drops. Sex Talks with Sarah. Love it. And yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you.